Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in to Reality Relationships every Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. with KL and Tiffany Velvet on GQ Palace Radio. It's better than better. It's better than better.
You know I love you, bro. Ain't nobody got what you got. Yeah. Chair built from the concrete, baby. You don't get no better than this.
GQ Palace Radio. GQ Palace
Radio. But we've always had some good times, and through it all, you held me down. Baby, you've always held it down.
GQ Palace, Palace, oh, yeah.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. You never let me go, you always stayed around.
GQ Palace Radio. Radio.
Tuning in to Reality and Relationships. And you know what? It is fantastic to be on the air. I am soon to be joined by my lovely wife. And
I'm
you know
here.
What? Oh, you're there. Hey, baby. You know, I've been doing my thing without you, so you know I was ready to go in. But anyway, how are you doing, dog?
I'm doing good. Everything's going well. I miss being on the air with you. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. I ain't gonna lie and say I didn't miss you. No, I missed you. I missed you. You know, I always miss having you. My better half on, but you know, I understood the situation and our daughter needs to be taken care of, so I'm going to do what I got to do here while you're doing what you got to do there.
Yeah,
so
she's
it is
very
good to have
demanding.
You on. I wonder where she got that from. High maintenance, yeah. But yes, everyone,
I
want to thank you.
I am not high maintenance.
I see you done gave yourself away because I didn't even say where she got it from. I just said who she got it from. You could have said it was me, but thank you for outing yourself. But I want to thank everyone that's listening to Reality and Relationships, if you're listening from your computer, or if you've called in from 646-200-3838. We want to say thank you for tuning in to us here at GQ Palace Radio. And you know what? We really love the opportunity that we get every week to do the things that we do in talking about relationships. Any form of fashion, not just relationships in the dating sense, but just the relationships that people have with each other. We try to discuss all of that in some form or fashion because it needs to be discussed. And now with that said, normally Tiff and I would do the news, but we're going to get right into this situation that has been the talk of all the newspapers, all the news in the last week or so, and that is that Donald Sterling secretly leaked audio of him speaking in a very racist way. And of course, if you don't know who Donald Sterling is at this point, it's like that Geico commercial, you've been living under a rock. Donald Sterling is currently the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers, but he was banned for life from the NBA because of racist comments that he made to his half black, half Mexican, half whatever, quarter whatever girlfriend. And we're going to discuss that tonight. You know, I want to say
that I had no idea what was going on because I was not paying attention to the news because I was in pageant mode. I happened to be in Atlanta with a baby for the American Beauties Plus pageant. And I have, when I got home, Kale picked me up from the Port Authority and he was playing the news. And I was listening to the comments and everyone saying how upset they were, how this was an atrocity, it just doesn't make any sense. And then I heard the actual sound bite of Sterling and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, when did this happen? I missed this.
I know, and you said in the car, you know, it's been talked about from so many different angles, and everyone has their point of view because anytime you bring up race, you're opening up Pandora's box because race relations are not where they should. And you're talking about a scab on a wound that is so deep that any slightest prick at the scab breaks it open. And Lord knows what's going to come spilling out. Because there's so much connected to prejudice and racist views that it is very difficult to bring to the table because everybody's going to have their point of view based on their experiences, based on their understanding, and based on what was actually done or said. So with that said, I have no problems with anyone who calls in tonight. And if you want to call in to discuss this and get your point on the air, 646-200-3838. But I am going to tell you this. I'm not in fight mode tonight. I'm not going to get into debating a whole lot with you. If you want to call in and give your views, fine. Give them, we'll hear them, and then I'll probably say thank you, we're going to move on. Not that I'm dismissing you, is because I'm going to say what I got to say because you listen to my show, our show. But two people could start a conversation on race and it takes 5 days. It's just that polarizing and powerful. And so I don't want to get into a fight. But I don't have a problem if somebody wants to counter something I may say tonight because I'm very passionate about what I feel, about what I heard, and what I think, and what I've studied, I am a learned man. I've said numerous times and have said numerous times what my educational background is. I have a postgraduate degree. With that said, I'm still a man of color. So there's a lot of platforms that I can come from with what I heard, and I'm going to try to curtail that in a way that is professional always, respectful to my faith always, and then respectful to anyone's feelings. And I can't always say always, because yes, sometimes I step on toes. But when I do, I apologize.
I just want to say also that, believe it or not, KL and I have differing views on the topic.
Yeah.
We don't agree 100%.
Yeah.
So that might be surprising some people. It might be surprising what I'm going to, you know, what my opinion is on the whole Donald Sterling case also to many folks. But we're going to get into that also. But
yes, without question, because, you know, it's, you know, I think what people don't realize is that there's a difference between racism and prejudice.
Right,
and
we discussed
people,
that on the previous show.
Yes, and a lot of people will have prejudice views, but they don't necessarily have racist views. And I think that's one of the things that a person needs to understand. Now, one of the things that you have to look at is let me do it this way. I had something that I'm all over the place. Okay, that's how
you're supposed to be prepared.
It's not that. I had put it somewhere and then I had messed around and couldn't find my glasses. I was all over the place. But what I want to do is I wanted to give the definition of racism and then I wanted to give the definition. Okay, so let's do it this way. First, let me give you the definition of racism. Racism is actions, practices, or beliefs or social or political systems that consider different races to be ranked as inherently superior or inferior to each other based on presumed shared inheritable traits, abilities, or qualities. It may also hold the members of different races should be treated differently. Now, again, that's important to understand that. Now let's look at prejudice. So we can understand. Now, prejudice is a preconceived opinion that is not based on race or actual experience. It harms or injures the results, or may result from one action or a judgment. See, so I could be prejudiced towards married folks against single folks. I could be prejudiced against large men or skinny men. But a racist is someone who clearly has an issue with the way that he sees races and feels that his race is superior or that another race is inferior because of the race that they happen to be. Now, some folks that are prejudiced will just say, I don't like black people because they're black, which is similar. But there's a subtle difference. And some people say, who cares? It's tomatoes, tomatoes. I understand, but I just want to make sure you understand. Because when we're talking about what this man said, when he said, I feed them, I clothe them,
I give them cars.
Do you think that they're coming to see them or me? Now, people wild out, and right, you should. How dare this man? How could this man say that in 2014? Oh, my God. All the things that went with that. And you know what? Yes, we should have reacted in a negative way because anybody that would say that about any particular race should be offended because, you know what? It's ridiculous. Those men have talent, God-gifted talent, that allowed them to do something that only a select few people on this planet can do on their level. So you're not giving them anything because God knows if you drop dead tomorrow, I know there's some people jumping up and down and wish that would happen. No, I don't wish death on anybody. There are tons of other teams. The other 29 teams would rush to sign every one of the players that's there. So you don't actually give them anything. You're allowing yourself to benefit from their talent. So let's get that right. But now here's the thing for me with that said. And I sat, when I first heard it, I know something didn't sit right with me. So I started thinking. And I want to tip my hat to Donald Sterling. I want to say thank you. Yes, I know you're sitting there, what, Kale, you lost your mind? No. I want to say thank you. Because this man allowed me to see into an arena that most of us have thought, but can't really say that we had confirmation. Now, let me explain to you what I'm saying. And, honey, jump in anytime you like. This is a Jewish man with connections to the Holocaust, so he knows what atrocities can be done to what level humans can destroy other humans. He knows he's a survivor of that. His family is a survivor of that. This man understands what racist views and thoughts can do and how it can permeate through groups of people to go out and commit atrocities on other people to a degree that's just deplorable. Now, with that said, this man, who's a Jewish man, owns a team that has all blacks on it, a couple of white guys sprinkled into it, black coach. He was one of the few owners in NBA history who was one of the first to hire a black general manager, Elgin Baylor. And he's dating a woman of color. So on the outside, you go, okay, he's doing what a lot of white guys do. All right, whatever. But here's the problem. How could a man who has all that in place have such a deep-seated dislike, borderline hatred for the very folks that he's getting wealth from? Because what he showed you, is what I'm thanking him for, is that he sees us as property. He sees that woman as something to do. She's entertainment. And we've seen this before. Don't get it twisted. We've seen this before. It ended in 1863. We've seen this during the whole slave period. White owners having sex with their property and having secret babies tucked away. Strom Thurmond was a senator and had a child, a love child. Even one of the presidents, wasn't it John? Wasn't it Adam?
Yes.
Was dating Sally Hemming? Had owned slaves, but got one pregnant, was dating Sally Hemming. So this ain't new.
But they would secretly take care of their children, too.
Thank you. And on a regular, we see the black nannies walking up and down 5th Avenue, 7th Avenue, 9th Avenue, 10th Avenue, you name it, pushing carriages of children that don't look like them. Okay, whatever. This man let us in to see that in 2014, the slave owner mentality is very much alive. Very much alive.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta thank the man for that, because now, if you had any doubts, if you had any reason to get up off the couch, it should be multiplied now by a thousandfold. Because you just got a tip of the hat that everything that you thought, that certain, I didn't say all, certain rich folks that don't look like men of color, many of us thought that for years. We've seen TV shows about it. We've seen cartoons joke about it.
But people seem like they're so shocked that, oh my goodness, how can he think that way? How can he say that? But to me, I think it's just a part of reality. People think that way. They're not going to always come out and say it.
But they don't, they think it, but they don't put it out. See, this is what I'm talking about, is that,
well, technically, people, he didn't put it out. Let's be honest. Technically, he didn't put it out. And that's one of the things.
It doesn't make a difference how it came to light. It did. See,
what happened?
It was wrong. Let me say this. It doesn't make a difference how it came to light, even though the way it came to light was illegal and wrong. So I don't rock with that. It's illegal to tape somebody and not tell them. But once it got out, see, none of us went and secretly hid and tried to get a tape for him. But we're benefiting because this chick who was a Fern side chick, now that's another thing, that's a whole other show that we're going to talk about, and we already talked about side chick syndrome. We definitely going to have to revisit that because here's a side chick who's angry, who knew exactly what this dude was going to say and led him right to the water, and he didn't just dive and he drowned himself. But regardless of why she did it and gave it to TMZ. Now, back to what I was saying is brothers and sisters of color and folks that are white, because you can help out here too. Is you got to understand is that folks of color have said for years that there are sections of people in this country who are rich, who don't care about us as people of color, who only see us as slaves. Now, folks will say, how could you think like that at 214? That's not progressive thinking. You're caught in the past. You need to be ashamed of yourself. All those things. Well, you know what? I'm one of those people because I've always said when you amass wealth, not get rich. Anybody can get rich, but they can take it from you. But when you amass wealth, wealth to me is different than being rich for this reason. When you're rich, you can buy a lot of things. When you're wealthy, you can make other people rich by what you do. This man is worth $2 billion. He bought the Los Angeles Clippers for $15 million, and when they force him to sell, and they will force him to sell, he's going to stand to make $650, maybe $700, which means he's going to make $685 million on his investment or possibly $735 million on his investment. He's not hurting. And some people say, what kind of punishment is that? Whatever. He's not hurting. But again, I thank him. Because now, if I had any doubts about going back to school in September and October to work on my master's degree or my PhD, I'm doing it. And if I had any thoughts that I didn't feel like writing anymore and wanting to do more with my company, oh, I'm going to do it. Because when somebody lets you know that they see you as property, but that man don't travel by himself, and you don't make $2 billion in these United States and don't sit across from other people that have similar views, because people want to know how you made your money because they want to do the same. And that man hangs out with other billionaires, men that are worth more than him, men and women that are worth less than him. And I believe, and if you listen to the news like I do, and I listen attentively to talk radio, I don't watch a lot of television because a lot of ratchetness on, and we're going to talk about that later on too. I listen to a lot of talk radio because I like to hear how people try to justify their thoughts. If you listen to talk radio like I do, you're starting to see that people are starting to attack. Doesn't he have the right to say what he wants in private? And why should he lose his business? They're talking about the money. And their argument is, why should he have to lose his business that he earned? No one is actually looking at the fact that this man said, I own people.
Well, listen, I have to interrupt you because I happen to agree. What he said, whether it was right or wrong, whether we agree with it or don't agree with it, was said in the privacy of his home. This is going to set a precedent. Believe it or not, people are so gung-ho against Donald Sterling. But this is going to set a precedent for your disgruntled frenemy coming into your house, knowing how you feel about something, secretly audio taping you, and then putting it out there, and then people say, okay, oh, well, you should lose your job over it.
Okay.
It to me, I think,
okay,
unless he was shown to do something that was against the equal employment opportunity, unless he did something egregious to one of his players, his employees, or anything like that, you have to start wondering what happens next when the next person gets audio tape saying something people don't agree with.
I'm not really worried about it because you know what? It's going to happen. Here's the thing. When he signed up...
But then what about freedom of speech? Then we really don't have freedom of speech.
First of all, there's no such thing as freedom of speech. All right, let's get that perfectly clear.
But that's our constitutional right.
No. Okay, but let's stop. If the Constitution was real, we wouldn't have homeless people sitting around starving. And like Malcolm X said, if any of those pieces of papers was legitimate, there wouldn't be half the issues that we have. But they're in place for a reason. Yes, those are the laws. But let me explain something to you. His freedom of speech was violated, which means he can sue the chick. But there is something called the law, the court of public opinion. when he signed up to be an NBA owner, that is an exclusive club. That is not the regular world that we live in. They have agreement amongst all 30 owners that if two-thirds of the owners decide to vote you out, they can do that. Now, what can they vote you out on? When you do anything that stops the money. 13 sponsors had already dropped out that did business with the Los Angeles Clippers. Many of those sponsors did business with the other NBA teams. They said that 20 more were lined up and ready to stop doing business with the Clippers. Players were ready to basically have a strike if something wasn't done to the level that they like. Now you are cutting into the money of the other owners. And the one thing that you can count on, just like T.I. said in Taker, don't trust me, trust the greed. The minute that what this man did affected their money, oh, you got to go. So it's not that his First Amendment rights were taken from him. He has an issue with the chick that he was humping. And you know what? Good for you, because you let your side chick put you in a position that played you because you was doing your side chick dirty. That's neither here nor there to me, because you're a married man. So what? Whatever happens to you, good for you. But it does open the door, and it is like the other Mark Cuban said, it's a slippery slope. But once he started to affect the money of the other NBA owners, when they do have to vote, because they're worried about people looking at them negative, they're going to vote this man out. Because do you want to be that owner that when it gets leaked that you voted to keep this man in, do you know what your players and what your sponsors are going to think about you? So he's got to go. Now, what rule was broken and what constitutional rule was broken, okay, sue your side chick. All you're going to do is get back the money that you gave her, the tickets that you gave her. The wife is already trying to sue the side chick because some of the gifts that he gave her, the wife is saying that they weren't his to give because half of them are hers, and so she's trying to sue the side chick for embezzlement. So that's a nasty situation all the way around.
It is.
But
what this man, like I said,
this man lets you see that there are people that don't look like folks of color who feel that way. That should be the scary part of this whole thing. Because how many other slave owners and overseers is out there?
They're out there. No. I've run into them. But the idea is, it doesn't shock me when I run into them. It doesn't shock me when they show their true colors, because I already have an understanding that those type of people are out there. And if I choose to do business with them, I'll do business with them. If I don't, I don't.
But many other people don't. You were fired by a man that has the same exact mentality.
I worked for someone that has the same exact mentality.
He happens to be under the same fate that this man is. I'm not saying that because he's Jewish, it makes all Jewish people negative. So let me get that said right now, because I don't want anybody to think that I'm attacking my Jewish brothers and sisters. But unfortunately, some of the stereotypical things that have been said about our Jewish brothers and sisters do hold some truths. Not complete truths, but some. Now, Tip was fired by a man who has the same business practice. And if I'm wrong, Tip will definitely correct me. He has the same business practices that Donald Sterling has and treats his employees worse.
The same exact worse, yes.
Millionaires. They are not in business for themselves, and many of them, because of their background, which has less education, he does things with no fear, with impunity, because he believes that there's nothing they can do because they're not smart enough, and has been heard saying that, and made the mistake when he fired Tip at 5 months pregnant, that we don't even have to give her unemployment from November to January, which she got fired in November. And they said, well, because of what they did, which was illegal, she wasn't even eligible for unemployment until January. But Tiff is not dumb. And she's not married to a dumb man. So Tiff fought. And she got a lawyer. And she fought on a level that many of the other workers don't fight on. And she won her case, one of two cases that she's actually going up against this man. She won her case, so they got to give her back money from November to January, and then the money from January to now, which is going to come out of his pocket, and then he has to pay back New York State for the misrepresentation of what he put in on their books. Because he never thought Tiff was going to fight. He thought she would shut up and go about her business.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But this man, and I know it for a fact because I have gotten a phone call from Tiff Emotional, how he hires other people that have the same mindset as him, and allows them to walk around with the same impunity that he walks around with, to treat people, some of their own, and people that don't look like them, in ways that should not be acceptable in the 21st century.
What I want to say also is, because people act like they're so appalled at Donald Sterling, but people need to keep in mind that his friends know exactly how he is. Because just like the owner that I worked for the facility I worked for, he had people around him that knew exactly how he was. People who supported him and said he can do what he wants to because he's the owner.
Yes,
so the idea is Donald Sterling has those same type of people around him.
But that was one of the women that that worked with you that said, why are you
creating problems? That was a few of them. It was not just one. It was a few of them that said he can do what he wants to because he's the owner. I said, no, he can't. He can't break the law because he's the owner. But you have people in the mindset that when they're in a certain position, even when I worked at the tennis center on Randall's Island, it was the same mindset.
That you were working with a billionaire at that point. Yeah.
I was working in a facility that had members that were some of New York's wealthiest residents. And they were in the mindset that because they were wealthy, that they could say and do whatever they want to. And I remember a manager said, well, you know, they're the CEO of a network. I'm not going to say which network it was because I don't want nobody suing me. But they're the CEO of a major network. And basically, when he says jump, you start jumping. I'm like, are you joking? So he could be just as disrespectful, just as ornery, just as... And he was one of those that he felt that people of color was beneath him. A lot of them feel that way. So
the idea is that they have friends
around them that feel the same way.
Mm-hmm. And this is why when I say I thank Donald Sterling, because when... Now, Tiff is local. And Tiff works for a company that, unless she told you the name, you wouldn't hear about it unless they did something illegal, which they did a few years ago when they fired someone, and he wound up bringing charges, and they had to settle out of court because they were brought up and then had to pay a fine to the government. So it's not new. And the owner has wealth. And I would just say he's rich, but on our level, I guess he's considered wealthy. Sam flies back to Israel on a regular. He does the things that he wants to do. But at the end of the day, he has more money than the people around him and has been heard saying things that is completely unacceptable in the business arena. But why does he do it? Because he feels he can do what he wants. He's gone as far as put things in writing in his handbook that is against the law.
Completely against the law.
My thing is, so when someone on this level, now we're talking major money level. When you're saying billions of dollars, let's keep it real now. Folks look at Oprah as one of the most successful women of color, and actually she's one of the most successful people of color on the planet. And to my understanding, she is the richest black person on the planet because she's worth close to $2 billion. So her net worth is almost the same as this gentleman right here. And that's only $2 billion. When you start getting into Warren Buffett and Bill Gates levels, you're talking about $50 billion. That's wealthy. And I'm talking about rich. You Tyler Perry fans, $250 million, $350 million, $400 million. That's rich. That ain't wealthy. When you're talking billions, that's world-changing money. So when a man on that level, see, this is why I want folks to pay attention. I want folks to look in the mirror. When a man like that gives us a glimpse of what he does in his free time, does anybody else find it strange that he can lay next to and cavort with a woman that is basically of the ilk of what he doesn't like, but yet he's betting her down? That's sick. That is a sick mentality to lay with what you hate. You can look at any psychology book that you want. That's like a woman being raped and falling in love with the rapist and telling folks, ain't nothing wrong with it. I mean, yeah, that's how we met, but you know, we good now. No. That's sick. And so when a man can look at grown African-American, Caribbean, Pan-American, wherever they're from, men, and say, I own them, and sit at every game with his woman of color next to him when he's supposed to be married, and look and basically say, look at all that I possess. Come on now. if that doesn't make you want to start to disconnect from what's being shoved down your throat, what else needs to be done? Come, have them come and put the chains back on your ankles? This doesn't make any sense. Actually,
exactly.
I take that back. It makes a lot of sense. But we got to start waking up. So I hear terms of Illuminati thrown back and forth all the time, and I hear Jay-Z and Beyonce's party Illuminati look at the all-seeing eye and all this other foolishness. And you know what? There might be truth to it. But if you think folks in control are going to allow you to get to a certain level, no, because this is the level we're talking about. Let me tell you something. You're listening to Reality and Relationships with KL and Tiffany Belvin on Chief Q Palace Radio. We're going to take a break because I got to get some air. I got to take a walk, man, because I'm about to bug out. But no, we're going to continue this because I want to go into some solutions and some other things. But we'll be back in 2 songs. This is Reality and Relationships. We're talking Donald Sterling tonight. We're talking what folks need to do and what folks need to understand. And if you're listening, when we come back, if you want to call in and have your say, 646-200-3838, Reality and Relationships. We'll be back in 2 songs.
GQ Palace Radio. GQ Palace.
Take your power.
GQ Palace, GQ Palace.
Relationships. This is KL Belvin and my lovely wife Tiffany Braxton Belvin. Are you there?
Hey.
Hey, what's up? Welcome back, guys. And if you're just tuning in, we are talking about the Donald Sterling situation and the overseer mentality. I know this has been a hot topic in all over the country, and folks are still talking, and we'll talk about it until the team is sold or not sold, because now it is in the hands of the other NBA owners. But that is not my focus tonight. My focus is on the overseer mentality, because to me, that is more devastating to what the NBA does. Because you know what? The NBA is going to do what it does. It's going to make money. It's going to make 200-something men rich. They're going to make money from endorsements. They're going to make money from their contracts. Even the lowest man on the bench makes $2-something million a year. So no one is hurting. if you're in an NBA uniform. So they're going to continue to do what they do, and their brand is doing very well. And their brand is actually going to do even better because of this situation, because once they put this situation to rest, more sponsors are going to get involved and come back to the table. So the flow of money will continue. So that is not my issue. My issue is the peek into a world that we have guessed about, joked about, and talked about, but very rarely do we get confirmation. And I think when you're given confirmation of something, you must run with it. I think, you know, with the SEC, with the Securities Exchange Commission, if you get insider tips, if you're at work and you hear Tiffany's brother is going to release a stock tomorrow, and so you put that information out and everyone jumps on it and makes a ton of money, Tiffany can go to jail. Or no, no, not if Tiff told me to tell people, she can go to jail. But if I use that information and give it to folks, everybody that got it from me and myself can go to jail because it's insider trading, because I used the information that I got to get paid. Well, I believe that when you're given certain information, you have to act on it. And in this case, like I said, I know that the information was released to the public illegally, but I don't care, because the courts will deal with that shit, and he will deal with that shit. But I think men of color everywhere and women of color, and when I say men, I'm not leaving out the sisters, so I'm going to say people of color, please understand what we've had the chance to see. Now, let's look at what we can do with that. You first, to me, you use it as motivation, because it doesn't make no sense to rant about it and not give a plan of action. You use it as motivation. You get up and say, I got to find a way to push to get to the best and the highest level that I can get to. Now, if you want to shoot for Donald Sterling level, if you want to shoot for $2 billion, yeah, I'm not going to stop you. I'm not going to tell you it's not doable, but you do have to be realistic in your push. If the richest person on the planet is Oprah and she's barely there, well, unless you're going to do Oprah-like work and have Oprah-like success, it's going to be very difficult. But what we can do as a collection of folks, we can start collectively centering our efforts towards each other. Let's stop putting our money into the hands of folks who don't have our interests at heart. Now, we're never going to know what's in someone's heart. So the only thing that we can do is start to judge people by their actions. Folks don't realize that Donald Sterling settled the largest settlement with his housing company, where he mistreated the people that lived there because he said he didn't want blacks because of some derogatory reason. He said
he
likes
blacks
Koreans.
And Mexicans, right?
He said Mexicans because of their behavior, blacks because of the way that they are. He likes Koreans because they'll pretty much deal with whatever you give them. And
he went so far as to have periodic inspections to make sure that those type of people, so he said, were not living in his building.
Exactly. And he was found guilty. And here's the thing. He is a litigator. He is a lawyer. And one of the things that he does, he loves to litigate. He has been heard telling people, I love to go to court because I can keep you in court until you run out of money. I won't. And then when he has bled you to a point that you can no longer fight, he will then offer you a settlement. And so what happens? People take the settlement because they're broke. And this is one of the oldest methods used. How many times have we seen in movies, and we joke and laugh about what we see in movies, but there's reality to movies. How many times in movies have we seen the rich man say, I will keep you in court so long, we see it on Law and Order all the time, that they just settle. We've seen it with other court cases where folks, where big rich companies have tried everything possible, and only sometimes by the grace of God where information shows itself or a person on the inside has a change of heart and they decide to say something, but these big companies will do anything they can to hold on to their bread. So what we have to do when a man like this shows his true colors, we got to band together and find a way to start uplifting each other, start siphoning back our dollars, start looking at examples of times when we were doing well. Now, you may go, come on, KL, that's not realistic, isn't it? Well, I want anybody listening to the sound of my voice to go look up 1932, Black Wall Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Now, it is one of the most devastating periods of destruction in this country's history. Well, why are you a little shocked at what I just said, and how come you weren't taught this in school, is because they do not want you to know that during the Depression, there was a place in the United States run and owned and lived by nothing but people of color, and they were thriving. They were doing well. The dollars that circulated in this area never left. They had libraries, movie theaters, they had everything. Black-owned businesses, black-owned schools, black-owned theaters. Everything was owned by people of color in the United States that was struggling in the heart of a depressionary era. And what happened? The town was destroyed. 32, almost 33,000 something people murdered. Town flattened. They actually dropped bombs on the town. And they went to war simply because the folks of color had money. And you may say, well, why would you use that as an example for people to do well if the people died? Well, you know what? It worked. My original point was we have to look at examples that work. It worked. It just came to a deadly conclusion. But the difference now to then, technology. The same way technology was used to tape this man, we can use the same way technology is helping us expose dirty cops. The same way technology is teaching us that if we know the laws, then cops can't do certain things to us. Now, of course, people of color always laugh. If that was a black man, he'd have got dragged out of the car and beat. If he was a black man, he couldn't talk to the law like that. But we can change that if we start to educate and uplift each other with, one, understanding the power of our dollars. We may not be wealthy individually, but we are damn sure wealthy collectively. Because we spend so much money on foolishness that we could be a country amongst ourselves. Now, can this change overnight? Not at all. But hopefully with enough effort, enough push, by the time KL's children are ready to go to college, he's in a better place. And we start now. And KL's 6 weeks old. But we got to start somewhere. We have to start educating ourselves, and we have to start stop wanting the things that are shown to us and dangled in front of us. We have to start caring who our dollars are going to. Are they going into the pockets of the Donald Sterlings of the world? The men like Tiff's boss? Are we demanding that more people who have the mindset that we have be in place of the things that we want? See, we'll spend $1,500 for a Beyonce ticket to listen to songs that we hear every day on the radio, to sit so far away you'd actually have a better view from your home to say we were there. But we won't buy a $12 book from a brother who wrote it and published it himself. We won't put on our own pageant, but we'll do various things from various places. And I'm not knocking pageants, because Tiffany does a wonderful job, but she knows what I'm talking about. She put on a pageant, and people need to come out and support those things. We got to start doing more. We need to start going back to making things and not being caught up in what people tell you is fashion, what people tell you is expensive. You know, these are the things that you have to do, and it starts with education. It starts with a control of education. And if we got to start homeschooling, well, you know what? Get yourself together and start teaching your kids, man. Now, I mentioned earlier, I talked about ratchet, and I said how ratchetness plays into this. And it does. If you've ever watched the Boondocks, they have a character, Uncle Ruckus. Uncle Ruckus is a black man who believes that he's a white man suffering from vitiligo.
He hates black people.
He hates black people because he's a white person. Well, he believes he's white, and that he has vitiligo that stains his skin to black.
He has reverse vitiligo,
exactly. And so he would love someone like Donald Sterling, because to him, he's like, well, if the white man gave you something, why are you complaining? And even though that's a comedic character, there's something to some of the things that he is saying in terms of what black people do. And if you listen to some of the jokes that he makes about black folks that have money, he's telling the truth that, you know, we get our hands on money and we buy such foolish things. Sometimes we have to look at what the wealthy do and then ask yourself, why do they do it? And then emulate that same thing, but with your motivation. There's nothing wrong with copying how somebody does something. But folks of color will go, I gotta be original. I ain't no hater. I ain't jocking nobody. I gotta do me. Okay, do you. But we tend to do what they're doing, but put a stupid spin on it, so we still lose out. We have to get back to a strong barter system, a strong connection to the greater good. Now, I know a lot of this sounds Pollyannic. If you don't know what Pollyannic is, I ain't got time to get my dictionary out. There's no reason why you can't jump on a computer and look up what Pollyannic means.
Well, look up Pollyanna. P-O-L-Y-A-N-N-A.
Okay, but Pollyannic, anyway. Yes, look up Pollyanna, is Pollyannic, whatever. But, no, my head is not in the clouds. And, no, I'm not lost in something that can't be. It can be. And we got to stop looking to certain individuals as the only individuals who have the answer. Tyler Perry and Oprah Winfrey are not the only people who have the answer. President Obama is not the only person with the answer. They're doing okay. But we need it on a grander scale and on a local scale. We need a groundswell of local activity where folks will simply say, I am not giving to this landlord if he's not going to fix the things that I need. I am going to find a way to pool my resources. Let me let you in on something which is funny. The Clippers are up for sale, right? You with me, babe?
Yeah.
Clippers are up for sale, right?
Mm-hmm.
Magic Johnson is an incredibly wealthy dude for his level.
Right.
But he has some partners, the Guggenheim, behind him. And so they buy, with their economic leverage, purchase, like they bought the Los Angeles Dodgers. Magic becomes one of the minority owners, not because he's black, because he's one of the owners. But he doesn't have the major money in it, but they know that Magic's face grants them connections that they can't get. So Magic now is not only allowed to make money, he's out in front of a lot that goes on. So he's now spearheading so many things. And now couple that with what he's already doing for himself, what he did with the theaters, and Magic owns like 100 businesses, so you look at Magic Johnson's resume, you'll see he's making it happen. But what I'm getting at is he has financial backers who trust his mindset for him to be able to go out and spearhead some of these moves, and they put their money on the table because they know they're getting money back. Nothing wrong with that. If you want to use somebody else's money to do what you got to do, hey, do what you got to do. I'm just saying, let's start becoming connected to each other. Let's start becoming each other's. There's no reason to stand around the corner and waiting for Kanye Nike to such a degree that you kill somebody for skipping the line to try to get a pair of sneakers. That same line should be around the corner to line up to go to school, to line up to purchase homemade or self-made goods. You're lining up around the corner to purchase sneakers made out of the country, shipped to the country, to be sold at 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, maybe 10 times their worth to last you 3, 4, 5 months, or for some of you to try to hold on to the hope that you can sell as memorabilia back to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. That's sick. When the things around you are falling apart. And some of the same people who are on those lines don't have the means to take care of themselves. Now, what does any of this have to do with ratchetness? Well, I'll tell you what. It's 9 o'clock. We're going to take a two-song break, and then I'm going to get at some of you folks who is really upset about Donald Sterling, but you need to look in the mirror because you're helping him out. So I'm going to shout you out in a minute. I'm going to call you out in a minute. So if you want to call in, feel free, 646-200-3838. Just let the host know. Press 1 and let the host know. And if you're online right now, if you're listening in on your phone, all you have to do is press 1. The host will be alerted that you're there. Let the host know your name, and they will definitely let you come in and speak to Tiff and I. We'll be back. We're going to take a break. And when we're going to come back, we're going to talk about how ratchetness Some of y'all are embracing the ratchetness and got the nerve to be upset with Donald Sterling, but you embrace some of the foolishness. We're going to talk about it when we come back on Reality and Relationships. We'll be back in 2 songs.
Yo, what's good? This is Casanova Rudd from the group Super Lover C and Casanova Rudd. You know the golden era of hip-hop, baby. You are now tuned in to GQ Palace Radio. Yeah?
And relationship every Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. UK Al and Tiffany Melvin of MGQ Palace Radio. It's gonna be one of them.
I would not do. This is Grand Agent, grandagent.net, Real Grand Agent, Twitter and IG. I'm in the GQ Palace, so as far as I can tell, it's all good. Let's do it.
Reality and relationships, as he says, he says, 8 to 10 p.m. with KL and Tiffany Velvet.
Big Brother meets Biggest Loser. So as the guy was speaking to me, I was getting more and more offended by the things that he was saying. And I started to realize, well, what kind of show is this? And I guess you don't realize that Tiff and I are not that type of couple. So when I started to ask him questions and he started to respond as if, like, y'all should be happy I'm giving y'all an opportunity to be on TV. Man, I don't need you to put me on TV to act ratchet. Hell no, we don't want to be on this show. And he got offended. He looked at us like, you two coons need me. Do we? Do we? And so we walked out knowing that we weren't going to get called for this show. And one night I'm sitting there watching television. I happen to remember the name from the application. I can't even remember the name now. It was a couple years ago. I remember sitting there and I said, that's that show that they wanted us to be on. So Tip and I watched one episode. I don't even think we watched the whole episode. It was ridiculous. It was just, and I said, oh, I'm so glad we didn't say yes. Because if I'd have been on something like that, you could hang it up. No, because I couldn't show my face. I couldn't feel comfortable. You remember that, baby?
Yeah, I remember. And I was just going to say that over the years, I have sat in several meetings with networks regarding reality shows. And it has always been the same thing. I remember prior to, I have a few friends that have appeared on shows that feature plus-size women. But prior to the plus-size movement becoming so popular, a group of us, and including our mentor, sat in on a meeting with networks to promote the idea for a show for plus-size models and plus-size women, and featuring what we, did as far as trying to make careers out of being models. And the thing that stood out the most with the networks and with the people we sat in front of producers and everything is, you guys don't have enough drama. They were looking for the ratchetness. It's always, you guys don't have enough drama, you don't have enough conflict. And when I see people on TV, when I watch these reality shows, because I don't really watch reality shows, but when I hear these stories about what goes on, it reminds me of how we did sit down with networks trying to produce what we thought was a wholesome show that can, uplift women, and all they cared about was the drama. How much drama could we possibly bring to the situation? And it makes me sick to my stomach to even think about it.
But the sad part is, and the sad part is that people buy into it and love it and can't wait to be it and will be even more ratchet if they're asked to be. And sometimes they don't even ask. They just go ahead and do it anyway. But here's the crazy part. If anybody remembers Robert Townsend's Hollywood Shuffle, now that had to be some time ago. In Hollywood Shuffle, he was an actor trying to get work, and he's there at a reading, and the light-skinned guy leans over to him and says, "Well, you're not going to take this role, right, bro? Because they're going to make you do this, they're going to make you do that, and they're going to have you act like this." And he was like, "You know what? Yeah." And then as soon as he got called, he went right in there and acted whatever buffoonery way that he wanted to act. And then when Robert Townsend did get the position, they would have him reading for like a pimp. And he had to act real stupid. He said, "Now, I want you to act more black. Hunch your butt up." He's like, "Okay, hunch." And then, like, his little brother and his grandmother were looking like, "Oh, are you kidding me?" And the grandmother said it. There's always work at the post office. Like, you need to get some honest work. And so, but that was the 80s. But again, it was depicting what Hollywood was trying to say. "I want you to be the next Eddie Murphy. I want you to be this. I want you to be that." Okay. Now, if you remember the Martin Lawrence series, Martin, remember when he was doing Romeo and whatever, Romeo and Juliet or whatever the name was, whatever, the dude said, "Yo, I'll do whatever." He said, "Yo, he really sold out, but you know what, the dude was gonna do whatever to be on the show." And as long as we have people that will accept the ratchetness, then you keep these cats like Donald Sterling in the bread, because they're feeding off of that. These executives that sit and send their people out, they're giving their people command, find whatever's going to make money. So then they sit in front of you and they're nice, they're cordial, they're very giving, they feed you, they lay out a nice spread, and they most time meet at these nice restaurants, these shishi restaurants or these hotels, and you are really feeling them, you know? And then when they say, okay, here's what we want you to do, they're hoping that what they've drugged you with is enough to go, I want this, so we want you back like a student. And listen, guys, I know a lot of you are listening right now. All you got to do is press one if you want to come in and talk with Tiff and I. We don't mind. We want to hear from you. Don't be scared. Just press one. And if you're listening on your computer, you can call in and speak to us, 646-200-3838. Just simply press one. Tell the host that you want to come on. And then jump on in here and give your thoughts, your views. You know, we're not going to judge. Okay, not going to judge harshly. So,
speak for yourself.
I wanted to say what you got to say. But, yeah, the ratchetness that's on television, just look at some of the shows that's on. Look at the videos that are passed around every day. That now people are setting up situations try to catch ratchetness on TV because there's a way to make money from it. And we're feeding into that overseer mentality because it's basically if the slaves don't want to go off the plantation, why should I walk away from that bread? So you almost can't get mad at some of these slave owners who want to stay in command because the slaves are not trying to run away no more. Can anybody remember when Maury used to be a legitimate newsman?
When he used to Maury and show- Jerry.
And well, Jerry never came on. Jerry's show's already ratchet. He was always, but remember,
not from the beginning. Not from the beginning.
Oh, remember his fights were staged, and he was killing Oprah in the ratings. And the only year that Oprah was not number one was the year that Jerry Springer took over the number one spot. Because remember, she did fill in, she did Sally Jesse in, she did Geraldo in. Well, Jerry Springer got to the number one spot, and then all of a sudden it was leaked that his fights were staged. And the minute that people realized that the fights were not real, his ratings plummeted, and Oprah went right back to the number one spot. But Oprah did it differently. And a lot of people that were paying attention, remember when Oprah started, it was catered to folks of color? And then slowly her show morphed. Slowly her audience morphed. It became blended and then eventually changed into an audience that did not look like the host because it started to cater to those that was actually going to put money in her pocket. But folks of color continued to watch. But her audience changed. Oprah's audience was hood when she first started. It was a Chicago newswoman. And it was so happy to have her on the air. You know, everybody was tuning to Oprah. One of our sisters made it. But then her show slowly morphed that she didn't give in to the ratchetness. And for a stretch, she didn't bring on hip-hop anything because the criticism was Oprah doesn't support hip-hop. And so Oprah had gotten her show to a certain level before she started bringing... Marky Mark was on Oprah before some of the other hip-hop artists because I remember Marky Mark, the two young men that... Chris Cross and a couple others had reached a certain level and had them on and was disgusting. But okay, fine. What I'm getting at is we feed into so much ratchetness that we're actually proving the Donald Sterlings of the world right.
Yeah.
I look up into Facebook every day. All you have to do is look at the things that people put out every day. The TV show that they can't wait to talk about every day. You know, and it's funny is I don't think it's strange when people want to say that, and this is my best right now. This is the best for me. Oh my God, Darryl Sterling is nasty, and he got to be ashamed himself humping some young black chick. But don't y'all watch Scandal Every Thursday? Isn't the president on that show white? If I'm correct, and isn't the chick black? What's the difference? He's just not as old as Donald Sterling. Same thing. Interracial couple sneaking and doing whatever. What's the difference? And that's number one show.
But he's 80 years old. I'm like, when I think about it, I'm thinking I would not want to be with somebody 50 years older than me. Ew.
Yeah, but that's the oldest game in the book. young hot chick, get with an old dude, make him feel good for about 10, 15 minutes, take his money and go hang out with the young dude. Did you see the picture of his daughter with the black guy, though?
Yes, I did.
I don't know if it was
in
college or whatever. And see, some people believe that's what sparked him to get upset about, like, the Instagram stuff or whatever, because his daughter was taking those same type of pictures. Listen, you can't stop people from who they like, but at the end of the day, we're feeding into foolishness and getting mad at what we see in reality, but loving the fantasy. Which is it? If you don't like Donald Sterling for dating a black chick, then why do you watch Scandal and love it when it's the same thing? Married man humping side black chick. What's the difference? That's righteous to me. Now, I'm not mad at the people that do what they do. Make your money. I exercise my right not to watch. There's nothing about the premise that makes me want to watch. People try to sell me on it. And I know folks are gearing up for the, I don't know, it's canceled on tonight. I don't know. People try to get me, oh, you have to watch it. No, I'm pretty sure there's
I haven't watched one episode. It's just that I'm intrigued by it. I'm not intrigued.
Like, I'm happy that the young lady at the top of her game, because I've seen her in different movies. She's a quality actress. And I like the work to get me. But I'm sorry, when you, I see things for as it is, and certain premises, when you sell them to me, now that doesn't mean that, like, there's some people that can say the same thing about the Boondocks. I enjoy the Boondocks because I think the query that it puts out there is thought-provoking. I think the jokes cut both ways. And I think, and they deal with subjects from religion to politics to whatever, and race, and everything is thrown into the pot. And then you, as the intellect, have to decide what works for you, what doesn't work. Because there's been a couple of shows I'm like, ooh, that was kind of risque. But I understand it. And you give me that option to make that choice of whether I want to rock with it or not rock with it. So, you know, we all have things that we might watch that's considered. But then there's just some things that you watch that I can't see the value. I can't see why folks did, like, basketball-wise, I don't, like, shows like that, like,
or Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Real Housewives of Compton, Real Housewives of Atlanta, Real Housewives
Love
of Alaska.
Love and Hip Hop.
You know, to me, all I keep hearing is I keep hearing Flavor Love. I keep hearing I Love New York. I'm like, okay, these are the children of those shows. And when they
know,
get tested in the water, it works.
But you know what? It reminds me of a discussion I had on Facebook a few days ago where we were talking about reality shows, and actually what's so funny is what happened?
Where's New York?
What?
Where's New York? Like, what happened to New York, see? Wasn't she at the top of her game when her show was on? What happened to her?
Oh, New York? Who knows? Who knows what happened to her? She had her 15 minutes of fame and she was gone. But what I was going to say is it reminded me of a conversation I was having on Facebook, and we were talking about the reality show, and the question was actually posed by a guy. And it was so funny because someone had asked me about how I felt about reality shows and how black women are portrayed in the reality shows. I said, well, I particularly don't watch this. And the fact that a guy posted this question, I think more women need to pay attention, especially the women that watch these shows for entertainment, because men are saying, we don't like those type of chicks. So why is it that you're being entertained by those type of chicks? And it was so funny because most of the women on the post were saying that, oh, they like the show, they watch it, they watch these type of shows because it's entertainment. And I said, I personally don't find it entertaining, especially when it's influencing our youth, because we already know that our youth can't decipher from reality and entertainment, and they take everything for what's real. So they're trying to be the side chick. They're trying to be the chick that's, you know, getting all the guys with the money and all that. So when you put that out there, and that's all they see, they don't see the black woman working hard, the black woman going to school and making something of herself. All they see is the makeup and weave, long nails and 5-inch heels, and looking cute all the time. That's not reality. We all don't wake up looking
it's
fabulous.
Crazy. It's funny. It's sad.
It's very sad. And you have the kids watching these shows, and they think that that's reality. That's the type of lifestyle they want. They don't realize that's not reality. Everybody doesn't wake up with three layers of makeup on their face.
Yeah, you know, and so many of these videos, that these self videos that people are putting out of the person twerking in like their bra and leggings. Or I saw a video today, shout out to Allison D. She put a video out of a chick who was trying to, the nene or something, whatever she was trying to do. Big girl was trying to shake it and hold the dress down at the same time. Ma, if your belly in the front is as big as the back, and your dress is not fitting you correctly, then bending and trying to twerk or whatever that is, and then now doing the nene where you got to reach your hand up, and then the dress starts to ride up, so you're trying to do the nene and hold the skirt down at the same time. Stop. Just stop. But here's the problem that I have. The crowd of people around her going, yeah, baby, go, girl. Y'all need to be slapped, too. Because y'all are not telling her she's making a clown of herself. And then, of course, the cameras are out. And so where does it end up? On Facebook. But when she was done, the next big sister was like, I'm going to take it one step further. I am going to get into the grass. I'm going to get down on my knees or my hands, whatever, in the push-up position and twerk to show I'm flexible like that. So, of course, the crowd was digging her, too. So now we get the live, full-figured strip show at, like, a picnic. And I'm thinking, why do we celebrate this? Now, I'm not knocking women of size because I believe sexy starts at size 14. And, brothers, if you don't know sizes, you don't know women. So I love my thicker sisters, love the big girls, love them. To me, that's what it's about. But I don't like to see any sister, big or small, doesn't act classy. I have my share of nasty chicks. I ain't that man no more. I matured and I grew up. I don't want to see my sisters like that. And I'm going to do whatever I can to try to change that. I'm going to try to shine a light on it, even if it means shining a light on myself and my past. Because someone has to say enough. Because like I said, as I started this half an hour, that ratchetness plays into the hands of men like Donald Sterling. If you want to be that gold digger chick, there's some rich dude out there who will lay you down and give you a little bit of bread.
Yeah, and you know what I find interesting is,
because, you know what? It don't mean nothing. Hold on one second. It don't mean nothing to him. See, he'll give you $10,000, and you'll go home to your girls and go, I'm pimping this cat. And he'll go sit with his boys at the billionaire club and say, you should have saw what this nasty freak did for $10,000, money that he wipes his butt with. But you so thinking that you got something, you done became his high price, and y'all can fill in the rest. Hey, baby.
What I was going to say, what I find interesting is that, actually, I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry.
But no, you know, it's sad, man. It's sad. And we think we're doing something. And then the funny thing is, when the reality hit, you done spent 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, the time that you could have got a formal degree, a time that you could have, okay. If you're going to go that route, learn how that man got rich. If you're going to lay up under him, if you're going to really get into the ratchetness, as my mom used to say, if you're going to be a hoe, be a hoe. If you're going to be a hoe, be a good hoe. So if you want to lay up under a cat that's worth billions, when he cuts you off, you should be able to do some of the things that he did to make his money, to help you make money without him, if you did it right. But if he cuts you off and you're coming back home to a much lower level with no knowledge, no skills, no nothing, oh my God, you're beyond stupid. See, I don't like either scenario, but if you're at least going to do it, make that man pay for your master's degree. Make you forget the apartment. Say, boo, I'll stay at home with my mom and drive out here to see you. Could you just pay my tuition? So when you're ready to leave him, you're good. Because there was a time we didn't have that option. We had to be at home with no bread. And it was now, go back to your husband. I'll see you in 3 days. Pregnant. And the man had to sit there knowing he was pregnant and couldn't say nothing. So to me, we got to change that. We have to change that. It is 9:30. You guys that are listening in on the phone, don't sit there quiet. Come on, jump in. We got a half an hour left. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back. We're going to drive this home. Would love to hear from you guys if you choose. If not, Tiff and I love talking to each other, so it's not a problem. But please, if you'd like to call in, if you're listening from your computer, 646-200-3838. And if you're already on the phone, you have to press 1 to let the host know that you're willing to come on and talk. And let's talk. Don't listen. Go in. Talk about it. But when we come back, we're going to talk about the people. And is it actually bright or is it dimming? Sadly, I think it's, but you know what, we'll talk about it when we come back in 2 songs, what the future this whole thing looks like to us, or to me, or to this, whatever. We'll be back in 2 songs. Thank you for listening to Reality Relationship. We'll be back.
GQ Palace GQ Radio. Palace.
Oh,
Palace Radio.
And oh, when you hear that song, doesn't it make you think of Coolie High? Oh man, I just watched that the other night. Classic, love old school R&B. You are listening to Reality and Relationships. I am your host, KL Belvin, and we are on GQ Palace Radio every Thursday night from 8 to 10. And I just wanted to say, if I didn't say it earlier this evening, make sure that you tune into this same station, same phone number, same location on Blog Talk Radio every day of the week. There is programming going on. Go to Blog Talk Radio /GQ Palace and listen to some of the other shows. I guarantee you, you will enjoy the programming that GQ Palace puts out. There's a little something for everyone on every night. And you got to take advantage of that, man, because there's tons of internet radio. But you know what? I'm partial to the folks that I work with, of course, because I know the people behind the scenes, and I know that they're trying to present quality radio like this show and many other shows that just gives you a perspective that's not the norm. And maybe if it is the norm, but just in our particular way. So make sure you support GQ Palace. That is part of that future that I left off with before we went to the break. The future I got to be honest. I don't know if the future is going to be that bright for us. I hold out hope, and I fight very hard as an educator and as a businessman and as an author and as a husband and as a father. I fight very hard to do the thing that I need to do, and Tiff and I together, and I believe Tiff, you there, right, baby? You there, babe? All right, Tiff will be on in a second. But we work very hard to try to be upstanding citizens. We try very hard to be quality business folks. We try very hard to do the things necessary. I got a trunk full of books in my truck, and I'm going to be hitting the road. I'm going to be hitting the road to get out here and make it happen, because that's what I do as an independent businessman. So I am trying to, with the Lord's help, create my future, the future that I want to see. But with this, but on a grander scale, I am a little saddened. And I'm a little saddened by the things that I see, because I don't see the push. I don't see the push to make things better. I don't see the push to make the changes necessary to augment what's going on. I see a steady gravitation to the things that are wrong. I see us becoming more like the individuals that Donald Sterling was speaking about. I see people lining up to be slaves. I see people enjoying that mentality and making careers out of it. I'm not the biggest Steve Harvey fan, but I respect anytime I hear or see anything that is said that's poignant and thought-provoking. And one of the things he said is, what happens when your 15 minutes is up? What happens when the Ratchet Show or whatever that you're on has run its course, and then you realize that your talent is non-existent and you now can't do the same thing that you were doing, and no one is going to pay you what that Ratchet Show was paying you? And I mentioned earlier when I said, well, what happened to New York? Maybe she's doing well. I don't know. I just know she's not current. So is she doing things that is bringing her the same money that she was making when she was on those Ratchet shows? I would hope that that is the case. But if not, you know, hopefully she saved enough of it. You know, I sit down with students, and we talk about finances, and I try to get in different things that talk about social avenues. And they always say they want to be this, they want to be that. And I never hear them say they want to be the doctor, the lawyer. They always want to be the athlete, the entertainer, and stuff like that. And we talk about money, and they always talk about, well, how much this person makes, how much that person makes. So when I explain to them that through teaching, because of the amount of years that I have taught, I have actually been paid almost $2 million. Almost $2 million. When you add up what my salary has been over the 60 years, almost $2 million. And they're in shock. Like, really? I sometimes say myself, I'm shocked. Wow, really? But before I go any further, we have T on the line. T, are you there, love?
Hello.
Hey, how we doing, T? How's it going, darling?
It's everything is everything. How are you? Congratulations.
Thank you.
I see that little beautiful lady every day on Facebook, and she's a doll, baby.
Thank you so much. Yes,
look like she already a woman already.
I'm trying to tell you, she's reacting. So I think Tiff is trying to get on. I know if she's there. I'm not. Tiff, are you there? I think she's
Tiff here, too?
Yeah, she was here. She's trying. I think she just sent me a message. She's trying to get on. I don't know what happened to her. So I think she can hear us, but I think somehow she got muted herself or something. But
y'all have a doll, baby. I got to say that. She's a doll, baby.
Thank you so much.
How you been?
I've been good. I've been good. Just trying to hang in there and do the things I need to do. And
hey,
finish up.
Hey, Tiff, how are you, hon?
I'm
congratulations to that beautiful woman.
Thank you.
Look,
I
say she a little woman. She a little lady already.
She wanna be.
Hey, listen, holding her little hands the way she want to and all of it.
Exactly.
Good.
How's everything been with you? How's everything been with you, Jeff?
I'm not going to complain. It ain't going to do no good no way. You know, still doing what I do best on Wednesdays.
Did you hear what we were talking about tonight?
No. I just actually came on. What's going on?
Oh, we were talking about Donald Sterling and the situation. What he said. We were talking about how his comments actually opened up the door to seeing how men like that think and what we can do to now start to change some of the ways that we look at things, because the man actually let us in on how some racist men think. And it's not as strange as people really think it is. This man actually has an overseer mentality, and we need to take advantage of that and find a way how we can now start to change that up.
Right. I mean, my thing is, you can do the other race, but, you know, you don't want to be bothered with them. There's something wrong with that picture,
There's something big there. But the thing is, not just the mentality is that's not new. There was, you know, masters did the same thing. They hated the slaves, but they would sleep with the women. Impregnate them and everything and while they were married and with children, because they looked at us as property. And when a man at 81 lets you in to his brain and his soul, and you see that he has the same mentality as men had in the 1800s, that should say something to folks.
You're right. You know, but it's really sad, because, you know, when will it ever end, or will it ever end? You know. And I have to be very mindful, because, like I said, I have biracial grandkids, you know, and I love them to death.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing in this world that could actually just make me even look at them differently, or my son's girlfriend, you know. That's who he chose, so that's what he want, you know. I'll deal with it. For the simple fact, that's him. I don't have anything against any other different race, but me, myself, I would rather stay in my race when it comes to a relationship, because of all the things that can happen, you know. It's sad. You know, but my thing is, you know, a lot more things have happened in life that's more detrimental than just what this guy did. But, you know, nothing was done about it. So, I mean, why make a big issue out of it now?
Well, I think the issue is because he's in a position of power. When you have a position like he has, where he can control the lives and livelihood of people, well, then something has to be done. Because when a man has views like that, and then you start to look back and notice that his black general manager didn't make as much money as the other general managers, when you see that he settled the largest discrimination suit, when he didn't want people of color living in his apartment building, and when you see the different things that he's done and that he's been able to get over with because of litigation, well, then right there is why something has to be done, or why he's even in a position to be banned from basketball altogether. Because at the end of the day, this man has the power to actually harm people's lives.
That's true. That is true. You know, but I also was looking at Oprah trying to think about taking over.
Yeah, she wants to with the group put in a bid possibly to purchase the team. And I think they're going to try to steer the sale of the team to someone of color if possible. I really don't care who owns the team.
Exactly.
I don't care who do what they do. It's, to me, like I said, my biggest, what we were talking about tonight is, I'm not worried about what the NBA does about their money. Make your money. Make as much money as possible.
Right.
What I'm looking at is that when a man like that shows you his inner side, and then knowing that these men sit around in groups that are he's worth $2 billion. So when he's sitting with other billionaires,
yes,
if they have the same mindset as him, see, he's not losing anything financially right now.
True.
Even with the
That's
sale
true.
Of the team, he's not losing any money. He bought the team for $15 million. But when you look at the things that he does, even his own team, he got a trade. A trade was made to another team that they wound up reversing and sending the player to him. Now, people were trying to figure out how that was done, and everyone said it was legitimate. But then now, when you see the type of influence that he has, was it really legitimate? And so
right.
You have someone like that. When you have someone like that, that becomes the issue. That
right.
becomes the problem, and I think that's what's scary.
It really is.
My logic was we got to do it for ourselves.
Right. You know, but I don't know. I just don't think that racism will ever end. You know.
No, it's not going anywhere.
You look at people like in one perspective one day, you know. So this goes to show that this man has been a racist all his life, actually.
Oh, without question. But now here's the question: how did he amass $2 billion?
Yeah.
How did he amass $2 billion with that type of mindset? Is because he's not stupid. He might be racist,
right,
but he's not stupid. So if owning folks of color or owning a basketball team so folks of color can run up and down a court is going to make him money,
right,
well, obviously that's what he did.
You know, and my thing is, yeah, I think that he should be made to give up the team for the simple reason,
yep,
and the simple fact, you know, if he doesn't, he's still making big money.
Yeah.
He's still making a lot of money off of our black people.
Yeah, well, that's the reason why they're going to force him to sell, because I think, like, you know, the biggest conversation that's out right now,
mm-hmm,
is that, you know, why should a man have to lose his business? And actually, Tiffin talked about that earlier. And I said, in normal situations, no, I'm not for someone having their business taken from him. But he joined the NBA, and the 30 owners agreed that if any one of them does anything that affects the money, then if two-thirds want to vote you out, they can vote you out. So
good.
If two-thirds vote him out, then he has to sell the team, and they can sell your team, because all they're concerned about is their money.
Right, that's true.
Concerned about is making sure. So once the sponsors started saying, you know what, don't want to be involved, we're going to start taking our money back, well, they was quickly going to get him out, because anytime you mess with these cats' paper, anytime you start to affect how these guys make their money, you're going to get their attention, because
it's a problem.
Become a billionaire. Yeah, you don't become a billionaire in America.
That's true.
Give it away.
That's true, KL.
I want folks of color. And I don't have a problem with white folks either, because, listen, a lot of white folks do a lot of good things for folks of color, too. But I think folks have to start looking at what they're doing with their own money and start motivating themselves to do more to find a way to build in a way that keeps their dollars at home and stop putting their money in the hands of people like this.
Thank you.
Because,
this
man wasn't born like this, which means
right.
when he showed this type of behavior before, the people around him, if they could have,
mm-hmm,
and possibly if they'd taken a loss, should have left that alone. But we got to start now. So in 20
That's
years,
true.
30 years, there's something there. Now, one of the things I had talked about as we turned to the break, I said, looking at the future, I don't see the future being as bright as it should be, because I don't see enough brothers and sisters wanting to put that work in to take a loss, to leave things alone.
Exactly.
See, I don't know if brothers and sisters do that. Like, I don't see brothers and sisters turning off Ratchet Television. I think many of them are getting in line to be on Ratchet Television shows.
That's true.
What you think, Tiff?
That's true.
Tiff, where you at?
I'm here. I agree. I think everyone is looking for their 15 minutes of fame.
There you go, Tiff. That's a fact.
And
that's
they're compromising their morals. They're compromising their ethics, their integrity. It's
mm-hmm.
sad, because it's like, I'm going to do whatever's going to get me noticed. And I'm going
right.
to do whatever's going to get me, make me famous, whatever's going to make me money. And all money is not good money. There's some money that I'm going to leave on the table.
Ooh.
Some money I just don't want. And especially if it's going to make me look foolish.
Right.
So I don't get it.
Because a dirty dollar versus a clean dollar, I'll take a clean dollar any day. You know, and
I'll
like you say, it ain't always about that fame either.
I'll take a clean 50 cent over a dirty dollar.
Yes, yes, hey, you better believe it. You better believe it.
So, T, tell them where they can find you. Tell them what's going on so they know who you are.
Oh, okay. Wednesdays, Love Fantasy with the Diva Squad from 7 to 9. And you can find us there every single Wednesday with the Diva Squad, myself, Rachel, and Angie. And we there every Wednesday. Doing grown and sexy topics, playing the best R&B slow jams, and everything else. Just
and
tune in, same number, everything.
As you heard me say earlier, T is on another show, and that's part of that GQ Palace programming, where we all attempt to, in our own way, on our different shows, to bring our talent to the forefront, which gives you a little something different than what's on the radio currently. And so you have the squad on Wednesday. There's tons of other shows on. You got to start supporting things like this because as it grows, then we can start to challenge some of the established markets that are out there. But that can't happen if the numbers are not there. That can't happen if people don't support. And sometimes, like T just said, a clean dollar is better than a dirty dollar, but you may have to take 25 cents that's clean. And leave that dirty 75 there simply because with the clean money, you can do other things that you don't have to be ashamed of.
There you go.
But it means you're going to make less. Let me tell you right now, doing it the righteous way, doing it the right way is always going to be harder. Always going to be harder. I learned that a long time ago. But if that's what's needed, then that's what we have to do. Because if we're not going to change it, then the Donald Sterlings and the other overseers out there will continue to line up. Because I even heard other black people say, ain't no black people going to stop going to them games. Ain't no black people going to stop watching them games. And the fact that people say that about each other, and it has some validity, then there's a problem.
Right.
So, T, thank you so much, because it's almost
no
10
problem.
O'clock.
No problem. I enjoyed you guys, and I miss you all, and I will be tuning in more.
No problem, darling.
Give that little beautiful lady a kiss for me.
Definitely will.
That's T-Shirt. Okay. Deepest Squad on Wednesday night. Make sure that you tune in from 7 to 9 at Deepest Squad. Make sure you support what those ladies are doing over there. And as we close up for the night, as we close up for the night, you know, this is a very serious subject. And, you know, I may joke and I may laugh and I'm very serious. I'm sad for our future. I'm sad because when I look at the things that's going on and I look at what we seem to accept, this is not how I was raised. This is not what I believe in. This is not the things that I believe so many folks of color died for. And I know it sounds, and I said this word earlier, Pollyannic, and like I said, please look it up. I know it sounds pie in the sky, and I know it sounds all of that. But there was a time when people fought just to even things out. But they didn't fight to even it out so you could then start to act in ways that's just belittling the history that allowed you to be there. We're making money for the people that some of the people that we love died for to give us a chance. And we take that chance and spit in the face of those and allow men like Donald Sterling to become rich off of us and we offer nothing back? Nah. So I hope if you didn't do anything tonight, I hope it at least gave you motivation to do something. Baby doll?
I just want to say that we also need to start looking at ourselves and making ourselves accountable for our actions and how sometimes other people view us. And start making some changes. Start making some changes within our own community and start doing for our own community so that we're not depending on others to feed us and buy us houses and buy us cars.
very true, like my man said. Well said, baby. Well said. Guys, this is this has been Reality in Relationships. We hope that you took something from tonight. Happy to have my better half on the other line there. And we look forward to seeing you next Thursday, God willing. So thank you. God bless.
Good night.
You are now tuned in to Reality Relationships every Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. with KL and Tiffany Velvet, on GQ Palace Radio. It's better, baby. It's better, baby.
You know I love you,
right?
Ain't nobody got what you got.
No, but I've been living my
life.
Yeah,
it's built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Yeah. GQ Palace.
Made a lot of bad mistakes, but we've always had some good times. And through it all, you held me down. Baby, you've always held it down.
GQ Palace, Palace. There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. Never let me go, you always stayed around.
That's right,
you stayed around. GQ Palace Radio.
I just love the matter.
I know whatever comes our way, you know, you and me, we gon' stay together.
I just wanna give to you, make love to you.
Put
you with you on a rocket flight. Keep on loving till we touch the sky.
Questions they got to answer. Butter baby, butter baby, butter baby.